One more talking trash is all we have. One more interview, please don't be mad. Hey everybody, Joey here. Thanks for indulging in my little parody tune there. You're listening to Talking Trash with the Tin Can Bros, our interview series where we literally just talk about garbage with our friends. Just kidding. Or am I? This week we have one of our great friends and collaborators on the pod, Mary-Kate Wiles. Whether you know MK from TCB projects like Spies Are Forever and Wayward Guide, or from her own creative producing team Shipwrecked Comedy, you probably know how easy it is to enjoy Mary-Kate and her incredible work. I was lucky enough to meet MK way back in 2013 on the web series School of Thrones, and I couldn't be more grateful, because since that fateful shoot 8 years ago, Mary-Kate has become one of my most frequent collaborators, talented peers, and dearest friends. And all that really shines through in this interview. Recorded right on the cusp of Wayward Guide's release in the fall, this conversation flows like red wine as we joke about choral arrangements, discuss the pros and cons of producing, and compliment her bangs when she played Artemis Shoehorn. Get cozy and enjoy our chat with Mary-Kate Wiles.
Like 10 or 15 seconds where you just don't know if you're alive or you're not alive or where you are at all, you know?
You're questioning your existence.
Yeah, you wake up every day just going,
alive,
is this working?
But maybe not alive.
Hello, friends. We're getting a hi.
We've got Mary-Kate Wiles here, which is fun and exciting. You, of course, know her from that one sketch where she exercises her demons, and that's it, probably.
I forgot about that sketch.
That good, like, minute and a half long,
legitimately did not know what you were talking about for
that's,
3 seconds.
That's a sketch where I was just like, one day, I think I wrote it down in my notes app and just said, exercise your demons, and that was the extent of it.
That's a blackout sketch stretched to a minute and a half.
What was the gym we recorded that in?
It was the CrossFit gym I was going to. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Was
don't
that
anymore.
That was my first tin can appearance? I guess so.
Was it?
I think
was
so.
That, was it
was before, that
before
the interview?
I think
series?
So.
Oh, maybe.
We got to go back. We got to go back to the beginning and figure out how this happened.
Figure out what it was.
Though, real fast, that gym, the massage people next door were always complaining about the gym, so they eventually moved to another place, and then I stopped going because it was owned by a Scientologist.
Fun.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, long
and
time,
we
like higher up Scientologist.
Oh. Ooh, give us a shout out if you're a Scientologist.
And we performed Spies in a place that maybe
was
reaching global truth.
Yeah, not quite.
An interesting church was happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they'd like committed crimes.
Sure.
I hadn't looked in their books though. Maybe
still
there was
a
some,
strongly,
like, fraud.
Still a strongly performance-based religion.
Yeah. Oh
yeah,
for sure. I mean,
theater
religion.
Whoa,
well,
we are
I mean,
diving in.
CrossFit,
and that's
basically religion.
A religion.
Sure, sure. And a cult always starts as like a positive thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Brian,
how could this help me?
How has The Vow been?
The Vow? I'm several episodes behind, but it's like any good cult documentary. This is on HBO. It's about this cult called Nexus.
Nexium,
yep.
Is that
Nexus?
The lady sex cult?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one that Allison Mack, not
and
Alex
Sean's
Mack.
Co-star from Personal Space, Nikki Klein, was a big part of.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But it starts off, you know, they show you all the good things about it, like Wild Wild Country. You go, I joined this cult. What a beautiful thing. Even Scientology, you go, oh, it's like a self-help system. And then, like, the deeper you get, the more you get into, like, the sex cult. You know, it's no good.
Wow. I didn't realize they had done a documentary about it.
There's all sorts of information you can get on things. Speaking of podcasts, this is one, and you are going to be a part of one.
There's also a really interesting documentary on HBO right now called Lovecraft Country.
Oh,
it's a documentary.
Wow.
Yeah, it's also a podcast.
You guys really like it, huh?
It's a podcast.
I think
Don
it's fun.
Don just started watching it the other night. I want nothing to do with it. It looks so too scary for me.
It's very gruesome and
no.
Horrifying.
Yeah, no.
I hit a hurdle in the second episode because I didn't realize how the structure of the show was based on the structure of the book. And then when I figured that out, I went, oh, I like this now.
Is it based on a book or just general Lovecraftian lore?
One book that is
about Lovecraftian lore.
Yeah.
I see.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, the second one, I had a hard time getting through the second one, so I think I'm just going to skip it.
You should. There's the unfortunate thing is there's a lot of important characters and information that get introduced in the second one. So to like read it, watch a synopsis.
A lot of it and like absorb not a ton of it. So I'll just read the Wikipedia.
Watch the recap. Yeah. Then keep going because it's fun. So MK.
Yeah.
We segue away and segue right back.
This is all sorts of segues.
It's my fault because I asked about Lovecraft.
No, that's the whole point of this is like, it's a Saturday afternoon. We're just chatting.
Woo.
We got both nothing and everything going on. It's great.
Yeah.
That is true.
I feel left out. Should I put on big headphones too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's how we all chat now.
Everybody's doing it.
No.
No, I actually just got these. I was like looking up the best podcasting editing headphones because after making a weekly audio thing for well over a year, I thought maybe it's time that I should get some good headphones to use.
Yeah. That I well, stash like, these buds and maybe get some big cans.
Yeah. So here we are.
We know a thing or two about cans.
You sure do.
You want to tell us about that project? Which
we
already
sure.
know about.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah, so on my Patreon, I have a Patreon. I've been going through the Anne of Green Gables books and reading them and having wonderful friends such as yourselves come in and play different characters, so to
speak. I play a boy.
You do play a boy.
I've played a boy and a parrot.
But yeah, it's really fun. I'm actually starting on Anne of the Island, which is the third book for my patrons who are like at the level that get the exclusive like first episode.
How many
episodes.
Books are there?
There are a lot, but I'm going to stop after this third book because it feels like a good place to stop.
Cool.
No, genuinely nothing about this.
Really?
No. Like, I know this project, but like the books, Anne of Green Gables. Like... I like know nothing about Anne of Green Gables.
That's totally fine.
So my question is, wait, the animals talk?
No, there's just a parrot.
It's a parrot.
Talks.
So it goes like.
Yeah.
You see, Corey, in real life, parrots talk.
Corey, your animals don't
thing.
Talk to you?
No, there's
you
a
know,
documentary about it.
Parrots can talk. Paris can, you know, pick up words. So yeah. One of the characters, read by Nick Lang, has a parrot, read by Joey.
I see.
Who curses a lot, apparently.
Yeah. And you were like, say whatever curse words you want. And it was like, damn.
But it takes place like a century ago. So it's like the curse words are different.
So it's Joey playing a parrot imitating Nick.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, yeah, more or less. There's more of a backstory to the parrot, but I don't know if we want to get into that now.
You'll have
see,
to
see. Now I'm
to
interested in Anne
more.
Of Green Gables, but how much is it about the parrot?
It's very it's little parrot. About the parrot, so
I
can't
remember
recommend.
The pirate storyline.
Are any of the later books about the parrot?
No, I'm so sorry.
Did they do a spinoff about the parrot? Or
no, not that I'm aware of. But I mean, you know, it's in the public domain, so I feel like we can have at it if that's what
okay,
we want to do.
Cool.
Could like Anne and the parrot team up to solve murders in New York
Maybe
City
they,
or something?
They should in New York City.
New York City.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really sexy. Like, and it's coming this fall to CBS.
Oh, interesting. I love this take.
Now, when you listen to books, do you prefer to read the page or listen to an audiobook?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Ay. I prefer.
Yeah, that was a tough opening question. It's only going to get worse from here.
I prefer to not read because I don't read very much anymore. For a person who studied English literature in college, I think I got it all out of my system.
Yeah.
I haven't read a book in a long time.
You got burnt out, you know? It's
got
like
real
you just
burnt out.
You just went, no more books for me. I read my fair share.
But generally, I think I prefer to read because I like to, you know, hear the characters in my head the way I create them as opposed to the audiobook narrator, which isn't, I mean, audiobook narrating is a difficult job and there are many very good audiobook narrators out there. But
I'm often very attracted to like an English accent. Mm-hmm. Like, usually if there's an American person reading a book, for some reason I immediately hate them, and then by like the second or third chapter I like love it, and you like get it into your head. But my initial impulse is always like, I don't like this narrator.
Yeah.
They don't sound smart.
I listened to some Maureen Johnson book, audiobook, a few years ago, The Name of the Star. And I can't really remember exactly, but the main character was like this young girl from Louisiana studying abroad in England. But I want to say that the audiobook narrator was British and had an English accent and would do everything in her normal accent. And the book is written first person through this girl's eyes. She would do all the narration in her normal accent. And then when the girl had dialogue, she would do this like Louisiana accent. But it was just weird because the whole book is the girl thinking. It took me out of it so much. It was so strange.
But she was the only character that was supposed to have like a Southern American accent.
Yeah, yeah.
But her thoughts were British.
Yes, yeah. Huh, okay. It was weird. Bizarre. That's very weird.
There was another Maureen Johnson book I was like listening to audiobook to, and I don't think I liked the narrator, but they weren't like bad, but it was just like, mm-hmm. I had a hard time paying attention to them. Mm-hmm. Just like the cadence of their voice, mm-hmm. which was interesting.
I do find that with podcasts sometimes. I like can't listen to certain podcasts because I don't like how the narrator sounds.
That's fair.
It's like a pace, like a rhythm thing sometimes. Yeah. Like if it's not smooth enough, but also if it's too smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like that way about like voices and accents too, where like mm-hmm. It's hard to find that balance where, like, for me, the best audiobook narrator, like, you can tell when they're, like, doing dialogue for another character, but they're not doing, like, a full character voice. Mm-hmm. So it, like, breaks it up a little bit so you just have enough context, but they're not just trying to do a billion voices.
Joey just yawned. Joey hates reading. Joey hates reading. Joey hates
reading.
Literature.
Reading.
He's so bored right now.
No, I like reading. I did just read a book that got me super in. I was like amped on reading again. And I had like a moment where
book?
I was. It's this book that John Madison loaned me 4 years ago. And I've literally held on to it for 4 years. Been like,
that
I'll read this.
Me.
Since before I was like, he lived here?
Uh-huh. He gave it to me when we were there for Firebringer. And I was like, I'll read it eventually. And like just last year, I was like, I should pick this up. And I read about 100 pages and I went, I like this. I'm not quite into it yet. And then like a month ago, I went, I'll really dig into it. And then I got into it and it was
great.
What
book is it?
It's this book called The Name of the Wind. It's like a fantasy.
It sounds so familiar to me.
It's like a fantasy, kind of like Game of Thrones meets Harry Potter. Like this guy retelling his like life story, and he's like a famous wizard guy, and it's just very good. And there was like one chapter I remember being like at night with my book light, and it was like midnight,
like a
and
kid.
I was yeah, and like everyone was asleep, and I was just in bed going, oh my god,
everyone,
oh my god, is he gonna get his pipes, which is like a thing in the show. He's like playing a his lute in like a performance venue, trying to get this like award so that he can then play for money. Cause he's like so poor, and it's like him trying to play this really hard song, and you're like, oh my god, will he play the song? And it's like reading, man, it's crazy.
I do love it. There is something so amazing about a great book when
it's
you
great.
Just can't put it down. I miss that, but as I've become an adult, I have little attention span.
I feel like it has to be the right. I have less patience now for not the right book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's the right book,
but I feel like that with everything, with TV too, you know? It's like, I don't want to waste my time.
In my old age, I'm like, if it's a slog, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Also, it just makes me sleepy.
Yeah.
Like if it's reading at night is like a nice thing to end the night, but I get through about a page and a half and then I'm like,
I need to
kinda hard.
Like truly make a habit of putting away my phone, because I just get on Twitter and then I death spiral, and I should just not get in bed with my phone and just instead read 2 pages of a book and then go to sleep.
We'll take it if you just want to drop it by, you know, one of our homes or the office or something every evening.
You could do the like leave it out in the living room kind of thing.
I just use it for my alarm, which is the bad thing. But
do you need alarms at this point?
That is true.
Like an old school one. You can get like a $10 alarm clock. Does the trick.
$10?
Yeah, here's the thing too. They're battery powered. So like if the electricity goes off, they still
have
to
wake
still
up.
Go. Yeah. That's a good idea. I should do that. Wow. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's it.
I think our work is done.
I think we covered it. I think every podcast, we just have a goal to make, help someone achieve some realization about their life, and then we'll move on.
However long that takes.
You've done it.
We did it.
Speaking of alarms and waking up, let's go back to Arkansas and you waking up into the world when you were born. The very beginning.
My goodness. Just 12 years ago.
God, just 12 when you were
years ago.
Just 12 years ago.
She's just shy of her bat mitzvah. She will soon be a woman.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, it was really hard working on Wayward Guide and Spies with you as a minor.
Yeah.
Just your mom. Your mom was in rehearsal every single day and on set, and had to sign all the paperwork for you. It's great.
And most of the budget, most of that Kickstarter money went to exactly the schooling.
Is like hiring a teacher.
Which I appreciate that you guys, you did that for me.
Yeah.
I would beg my mom at that age to like take me to auditions and stuff. Not that there's a lot to do in Arkansas, but she was having none of it.
Really?
Oh my God, no. She was like, not into that at all for me in life, and look where I am now.
did you do a reverse stage mom?
Yes, truly.
Did you do mainly like school theater productions? Did you do any extracurricular theater or regional things like that as a young person?
No, because there wasn't any really. I did extracurricular like choirs, but there was no regional theater in Arkansas at the time, really.
Favorite choral arrangement?
Oh, I have food on my teeth. I just saw it. Sorry.
What was your favorite Moses Hogan spiritual?
I do remember some of the songs. I like, not all of them, but like bits and pieces of choral songs. Were you guys in choirs as kids?
Yeah. For the trips.
Yeah, sure. Like sometimes I'll just get like, arroz con leche me quiero casar, like stuck in my head. We did that.
A rose con leche. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, why?
A rose with milk.
A rose with milk. Another hit is when I am an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat, which doesn't go and doesn't suit me. That was a choir song.
Is that about the purple hat or purple?
The red hat.
The red hat.
Purple ladies.
I was sad because I didn't. That's a poem. Get the solo. And then, it is a poem. Yeah.
And did they base the social group off of those?
I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then we sang about it in my choir.
And here that we go. And here the tables have turned, and now we're learning something.
I've got two snatches. Sorry, I just have to. It's like Tourette's. I've got to sing the choral songs now that it's like in my
please.
Head. Okay, the two snatches of song. What would you call them? Bits of song.
Bits?
Snatches.
Just not snatches.
Measures?
Just a song. I'm leaning into it. It's a snatch Snippets. Of song. Listen, I've taken music classes. It's a snatch. One was just like, I was a something on the rat race of life, and I was going out of my mind. Something to deadlines, but I'm soaring the deadlines just to keep from getting behind.
I don't know that one.
Is this a song about being a dad?
Something like a county chorus song. It was just all about deadlines.
And my kids, I gotta go to the store. I gotta pick stuff.
Did anyone do in choir a piece called Voice Dance?
Voice Dance?
Yeah.
No, these all sound good.
There's also many of them. You know how they like publish sheet music in those like little pages?
Uh-huh.
This is like a song that only existed in those, and it has no words. It's all like da 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 da,
because
the voice dancing.
It's voice dance.
The composer was a friend of our choir.
Oh, no way.
But like, so we'd always get the new ones, the new Voice Dance 7.
Oh, there's multiple.
Oh, there's a lot. I wonder how many there are now.
You were like whole thing. You were like the premier school that was doing voice dance. It was just like, you were getting like hot off the presses voice.
Well, the choir wouldn't do it. Like the vocal jazz group Take One would get to premiere the new voice dance. Yeah.
Take One.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Choir did introduce me to Big River, which is one of my favorite musicals, because we did like a weird medley, of course.
Oh, we had a joke in college that the only song that wasn't in Big River, that was just them going, big fucking river. And that was it. And I don't know. That was just a Nick Strauss track. The river. Just singing about the river and how fucking big it was.
That's really funny. There are multiple songs in Big River about the river. About the river.
But it was like, that's got to be a song, right? Where they're just like, it's a big fucking river.
That one must have gotten cut at the last minute.
The musical theater department did it our freshman year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've like never actually seen it.
It's great. Good show.
It's, the music really liking is it. So good.
Well, I mean,
I like it.
Frankly, sorry, theater department. I really hated the first couple of plays that the theater department did. That's fine. I was like, have I made a mistake? Like,
because what was it? Like
Fassbender?
Like Fassbender,
Our JB. Lady of Our, and Our Lady
I
liked of
Our Lady.
I hated everything about it.
Wow.
And I was like, I've made a huge mistake. Why did I come to this school?
But then you saw Big River and you liked it?
And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay, there's good plays happening here. There's like other things happening.
And they're just called musicals.
You know, I loved As You Like It.
How many shows did your department do each year?
A bunch. I mean, the theater department did like four or five.
Like per semester?
Because there's one in each theater.
Or for the year.
Okay.
No, because there was...
This is an Arthur Miller, and then...
A Power Center.
Mendelsohn. I think it depends. It was like four or five.
I don't know how you guys remember. I can barely remember what we did when I was
it's
in
It's just
college.
Like thinking about the...
Four or five, and then music...
Which hasn't happened like... yet, because I'm 12.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I can't remember and college, because it hasn't happened.
Because that's
not Yeah. And then musical theater, they did like two or three main stages.
Really?
We would like only have
or like one. Yeah.
We would only have one main stage musical a year, but there were a lot of student production musicals.
One of which that I saw.
You did? Which did you see?
I saw apparently you in Pajama.
Pajama Game?
But I had no idea.
That's what I thought. Who when I was poopsie. I was poopsie.
You know, Joey and I were both Heinz.
Brian and I.
Which one is Heinz? Gladys
he's the time study man.
I don't undress.
Yeah.
He's the like guy who runs
it's a weird musical. It's got some good songs.
And you were both
it's
Lumiere, got some fun, right?
Songs.
We were both Lumiere. We were both.
Both had one of the same college audition monologues.
Wait, how did you do?
Yeah.
Not at college.
Oh,
in high school. In high school, we got to college and we're like, we both had the same.
They were
track.
Just that Spider-Man meme of like pointing at each other.
But that's our fun. College did do something similar where they'd cast two people and they'd rehearse them separately. And then on the night of the show, they'd have to wrestle off stage to see who went
of
on
course.
And did the performance.
Yeah. They'd have to go winning. And that's just break it to one of the actors. We're like, you have not been
Sorry.
Chosen to perform this entire show.
There was drama with our Pajama Game, actually, because my friend Ben Giroux, who
Ben
still does stuff. Yeah, he's pretty successful VO
he's
actor
great.
And other things. He, I guess, was that role. I can't remember. But he was one of the leads, and he booked a pilot, and he was going to, like, miss one or two of the performances to do this pilot. And they took the rest of the run away from him. So he only got to do, like, two performances, and then somebody else had
Whoa.
To come in at the last minute and take over his role. But they, like, he was still available for the rest of the shows, but they wouldn't let him do it because he booked this pilot.
Was that a big thing going to college in Los Angeles, having the entertainment industry here where people would like audition for like-
Not really. I mean, yes and no. I shot my first feature film my senior year, but cool. I was pretty proactive about like trying to start to get out and get work. And obviously that happened with Ben, but that was the only time I could like remember that being a thing where somebody like got a job. A real job. And also we all thought it was kind of mean and stupid because like the whole point of going to school for this is so that we can like succeed and like you're punishing him for I mean it sucked that he was gonna have to miss those performances obviously but
did you guys have understudies?
No
we only I
they
feel
started
like we only
at the
did
very end
they did we did we had understudies when we did Tartuffe
and Good Thing too right
Good Thing because someone got
really
bird flu
Swine
strip. Flu?
One of, those, one of them animal flu.
One of them animal flu.
Strep throat.
I don't remember which one it was.
It was Ariel.
Yeah.
But it was Ariel.
And then Allie went on for
And then we had to have like, and it was one of those things where it's like because the understudy thing was kind of new and I don't think it was like she was holding a script. So it was one of those like, if this, we sh- everyone, this should have been taken a little more seriously so sure. that it was like, it could actually serve the purpose it needed to.
Right.
Need to give them one of those like old people on Broadway earpieces.
Yeah, like one of those Brian Dennehy,
like
Al Pacino, any of those guys.
Angela Lansbury,
that's the one.
Does she do that?
I don't think she's like hides it either, because she was like, really? I'm old, I can't like.
Man, I don't blame her. I don't know how older actors can continue to do it.
She's also been old for so long.
Dude,
you go first. Well, when we saw Ian McKellen, because I got to see him in January when I still had hope for what this year might be.
The last fun thing I did.
I went and saw him in London, and he's 80. And he did a full 2-hour show, one man show. And the whole second half of it is him going through every Shakespeare play and saying a monologue or something from the play. It was insane. It was so, he'd be like, okay, somebody give me, what's this one? What's your favorite tragedy? What is his biggest comedy? And then he'd be like, here we are, As You Like It. It was wild.
I could not believe it. When we were in New York a couple of years ago and we saw Three Tall Women, the Edward Albee show, and Glenda Jackson, who was in that, who ended up playing, I don't know if it ended up happening. Did they do the King Lear with Glenda Jackson?
I remember hearing about it.
I feel like they did do it. Yeah. I didn't know if it was one of those that suffered. I didn't know if it happened pre-COVID or not. But she was unbelievable. And she's like very old as well. And you're like,
so cool.
You're great. Yeah, I mean, but it's also, I think like actors like them are just constantly forced to stay sharp for those exact reasons.
Muscle memory.
And I think Angela Lansbury is like, she's like, the reality is my body, like I can't do that anymore. So like, whatever, I'm just going to externalize that but I can still like do and perform and remove that element that like I just can't do anymore.
It's almost the dream, because memorizing the lines is the worst part.
How do you memorize all those lines?
Which segues to a great question. How do you memorize all those lines, Mary Kate?
How do you memorize all those lines? For real? I don't know.
Didn't you get stories about going up on lines in a show?
Going up on lines?
Yeah.
Like forgetting?
No, I never
forget. No, I mean like going up on
lines. Oh, okay. No, me? Never forget my lines.
Me? Never. I forget them on set. I forget them like on a...
But it's harder too on like, set, because you're like suddenly... Yeah.
You're just trying to memorize like these words to say one. Like you need to like know it so well today and then never again.
I do have a good story about remembering everybody's lines. And that's that when I was in second grade, just a few years ago, when I was Mrs. Claus in the second grade Christmas show, I knew all of my lines, but we had twins playing Santa, the boys playing Santa, because there was like regular Santa and there was rock and roll Santa. So, you know, this is what this play was about. They never knew their lines, and I would whisper them to them, but I was mic'd. So the principal would turn my mic off. Because she could hear me whispering their lines.
Wait,
do you remember any of those lines?
Wait,
absolutely not.
Was it written to have two Santas, or was this an adaptation?
I think so. I don't remember. I'm not sure if they were just like, oh, this is perfect because we have these two twin boys who can be both Santas.
Did they take advantage of that at all by like doing any fun? Like he goes out one door and the other comes in the other door. And like...
I hope so. I don't remember much about
it. That was the inspiration for The Prestige. We'll have to get...
Maybe Christopher Nolan was
that. We'll have to get your second... And Mary Kate, you're really lucky because we got your second grade teacher coming in and hit her to the Zoom.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. No, it was a lady. She was pretty old at the time. She may not be alive anymore. But she was also very mean, so...
There's an interview I was listening to with Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek.
Yes, she's so good.
And she was talking about how in the last season they realized that Eugene Levy is like the most adorable stage dad. That like if he was in a scene that like his kids like were doing and he wasn't in, he would just like go get snacks and then like go like by the monitor and watch them.
That's so cute.
And like emote along with it and say and like mouth their lines.
That's so cute. I love that.
Apparently the whole crew would just go like and just like watch it.
That's adorable. He's great.
He would just like learn their lines and like,
Oh, that's so sweet. Eugene Levy, can we talk about a glow up? He's handsome. And we're like watching some of his like movies that he did when he was like younger, and he's not, he's like such an odd looking dude, and now he's super handsome.
He's a silver fox.
Yeah, he looks great. Those eyebrows.
That is like a lasting trait. You go like, you get those are gonna look goofy when you're younger, but man, when you're older, you're gonna
he really like grew into them.
He did.
That's great. That's good for everyone. I'm going to grab my water real quick. Hold on one second.
Okay. Well, we're just going to talk about Rock and Roll Santa a little more. we got some questions. Do you remember any other shows you did like pre-college?
I do. Well, since we're on the elementary school train, we did in fifth or sixth grade, we did some weird Treasure Island adaptation, but it was like totally different. And there was like a guy and a girl, I think, who were like the gym character. They like added a girl to be, and I was that girl. And I did a terrible Cockney accent. Oh boy, real bad. But I remember saying the line, "We have to prepare for battle."
What?
I'm thinking Treasure Island. I'm thinking I was so cool. In high school, I did Anything Goes, of course, as we all do.
God, Anything Goes. That really is such a classic.
Anything Goes.
Did you do any shows in high school that were like either like new shows that they had just released the rights for that it was like, whoa, we're doing this? Right. Or like really uncommon high school shows, or was it all the run-of-the-mill musicals and stuff?
No, yeah. In Fayetteville, Arkansas at the time, we were not really on the cusp of the theatrical news. So no, we were doing tried
Detective,
and true.
That's where they filmed True Detective.
They did, actually. It was a big deal.
Really?
Season with Mahershala. Yeah. Yeah, they filmed it in my hometown. Yeah. I didn't watch it. I started to.
Do you ever wish that you stayed so you could have been in that season?
No, but I'm mad because I have a friend, Lauren Sweetser, who's an actor and who lives in LA. She was in Winter's Bone. Do you guys remember that movie? Mm-hmm. With Jennifer Lawrence.
Breakout role.
Yeah.
I was definitely thinking Monkey Bone, and I was very confused.
Also great movie.
I don't know that movie.
With Chris Kattan and Brendan Fraser. Oh.
Is that the Stanley Tucci movie too?
No, you're thinking The Lovely Bones.
Whoa, so many bones movies.
You got Monkey Bone, Lovely Bone, Winter Bone. A trilogy. A really good, strange
the bone trilogy.
The Bones trilogy.
And that's what Mary-Kate's next audiobook trilogy will be.
Yeah, that is what it is. No, my friend Lauren, who lives in LA now, she like somehow got cast. She auditioned out here and got cast in True Detective. It just like was like, well, I'm going home. And I was like, what the heck? Why didn't I get an audition? But yeah.
One of those full circle moments. Yeah. You got to go away just to come back.
It's true.
And speaking of coming back, the present.
The present, yes.
The present. What has like your working relationship in Los Angeles? I know we both, all of us are part of our own kind of like self-producing groups and stuff. And, how has that been for you?
How's it been?
How you feeling with everything?
Yeah.
You feel smarter and better than you did years before when you weren't doing Shipwreck?
I do. I do think that on some level, every actor should produce because it gives you a lot more respect for everything everybody's doing around you. On the other hand, I feel like it's ruined me a little bit because now anytime I'm on another set, I'm like, you guys aren't doing this right. So do you guys feel that?
Is there a bit of relief though also that you don't have to
there
like,
is very
worry
much
about everything?
When I'm able to just act, yes, it's very nice. But I also am like a little more judgy. I'm like, oh, interesting choice of snacks we have. Like, or you know what I mean? Like,
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that? Do you feel like going into other sets sometimes you're like, I would do this differently.
Specifically about the snacks, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, I feel that with most things in Los Angeles that are actor related. I understand the woes of like scheduling things and stuff like that. But to me, I'm always like, there had to be an easier fix here for this to make this like happen.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't run commercial audition rooms, but I go, there has to be an easier way that this could all have been done so that no one is waiting around for an hour and a half. And it turns out the answer is COVID, because everything's been very efficient since then.
Yeah. No, you're totally
and,
right.
But I think more of what Brian says, where the feeling of relief in a weird way of like,
oh yeah,
cool, I just get to come here and do
it
this
is
one
very
thing.
Nice. Yeah.
I think the reverse is true too, a little bit, where it's like having been an actor and then becoming a producer, it's almost easier to like take care of actors.
Yes.
Because you know where they're coming from.
Yeah. I think that's true. And it's also, you know, it just makes you, I think, a more patient actor on the flip side when you're doing things, because you realize how much has to go into producing and how difficult it is.
Yeah. And honestly, these whole last few months, I think, are going to give everyone an appreciation of just like, send me to somewhere where I can just hang out all day with a bunch of people.
Honestly.
It's like once we're on the other side of this, I think people will be like, oh, I have to go to set and hang out for 10 hours with people. How nice.
Hell yeah. I was saying, I don't remember who I was saying this to, but it might have been you, Joey. Just like the other day, I had my Patreon reading, and then I immediately like went, I dropped something off at your place,
yeah.
And then I dropped something off at Brian's, and it was just like 4 hours of like not checking Twitter and not thinking about the world and just like sort of seeing people and like doing what I like to do, you know, reading a great script. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this has been so nice for my brain to just like escape for a minute. And that's one of the things I love so much about being on set, is because you really do feel like you're like in your own little universe for a minute.
Yeah.
Because you're just focused on what you have to do that day and like telling a story. And that's so nice and good
big
for
time.
Your brain to like kind of get away from how horrible other things are, or just like your other to-do list or whatever. It's just fun.
Or your own brain.
It's just fun to do something like that every once in a while, and I'm missing that so much.
Yeah, that has been something I've been so grateful for over the last 8 months, is just having this project, having Wayward Guide to work on. I was like, it's been about six, a little pushing seven.
It's been on our radar. It's been in our subconscious for 8 months.
But yeah, like just having a thing to be like, this is like a singular focus.
I'm so looking forward to the episodes coming out for that reason, to like have something to look forward to and post about and talk about. That's not a crumbling democracy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be a nice little distraction, which obviously like we need to be informed people, but it's just, especially this year between pandemic and politics, and just, it has been so much, and Black Lives Matter, just everything.
A line to walk between like staying informed and not like ignoring things
taking care of your own like
doom
mental
scrolling.
Health
or just
making it all like the diminishing returns of telling people you got to register to vote. It's like at a certain point you go, I can only say this so many times. Here's a trailer.
You're also just really good in Wayward Guide, so I think people will really like you in it.
I hope
so. And that'll be great. Maybe it's a new side of you that people haven't seen before.
Ooh, interesting. Maybe
so. I haven't watched your entire back catalog, so I don't know. So I'm sorry. I don't know.
It'll be a fun flashback to Bangs.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real Bangs flashback.
Oh.
You
flashback
got so many
to Bangs is my favorite indie rock
it's
band.
Like
Corey, this was so funny. On the commentary the other day,
it's
like,
true.
Every single friend who came in as a guest, it's like, in a row, it was like six people were like, man, Mary-Kate, your bangs look great.
Independently, they just kept like bringing it up. Wow, those
really
bangs.
Nice. It was really nice.
Oh, thank you.
If someone doesn't know what bangs are, they're like a reverse
fringe.
Face mask
fringe.
Kind of.
It's almost
you
a beard.
Remember.
It's a beard for the top of your head. It's a beard
for your
forehead.
Oh, right, yeah. Forehead beard, yeah. They are, unfortunately, a nightmare for makeup artists and for continuity, and poor Roxy was constantly, like, coming over to flatten them and make sure they looked the same, but...
Okay, you have them again, though. You just did them.
I just did it. I normally I get them cut like that, and then I just usually push them over because they're, like, in my face. But I am blessed with the world's biggest forehead, so I need
a
forehead beard.
Congrats.
I'm like those like Elizabethan ladies that you see in paintings that like their hair, like they would shave their hairline back. So weird. I wouldn't have had to do that. It's already there.
Wait, does that make Joey your beard?
It's bangs for my chin.
Chin bangs.
These are my chin bangs. This is so good. This is so rich.
Yeah. This, and Eugene Levy's eye mustaches are just on point.
Oh my gosh.
They are eye mustaches. Wow.
They are. But yes, some good bang work. Good
bang action.
In Wayward Guy, that's something for everybody to look forward to for sure.
Yeah. You can even hear the bangs in the podcast too. You like. You know,
not only was it a problem for the makeup artist, but for the
audio sound, recording as well. Yeah.
We recorded them without bangs so that Matt and Mark could add in the
add in the bang effect. Yeah. Want
full control over your bangs. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice.
It's so fun
to have a thing and do a thing and.
Have a thing and do a thing. I can't wait to hear the podcast because that's all going to be new to me. Really.
It is great. I mean, it's like
you know the most because you're in all of it. But
I am. I sure am.
Yeah.
But I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what it sounds like because I haven't heard any of the final.
Oh, it's great. Like
speaking of, sorry, go ahead.
No. Just because the sound design, it's incredible because everyone knows it's like we had to record everyone separately. Mm-hmm. I think there's like three scenes maybe that were done together. Like
we did some outside scenes.
Some outsides. And it's like all outside stuff for like, and one scene that you have with Sean where it's like you guys can stand next to each other.
Yeah, close to each other. Yeah.
But other than that, it's like you can't tell anyone, and it's amazing. It's like it's great. It's very cool.
Yeah. It sounds like a thing.
Thinking about like podcasts. Narrators, like I said at the beginning, that some really bug me. I was like very conscious of that. After we had recorded, I started listening to that California City podcast. Sean and I both did. And it's not that great. I can't remember. Okay. Sorry.
We're not going to plug it. It's not that great.
It's really interesting subject matter.
Not an ad.
But the podcast itself kind of fell flat. But anyway, she sounds so podcasty. And I was a little like, ooh, like maybe I should have. Put more of a weird podcasty cadence on the stuff that I was recording.
No, it's good.
Steve is also just like a bullseye together on the podcast as well as in the show. Just like both of your energies intertwine, and like when he goes low, you go high, and it just works.
Really? Nice. That makes me really happy. That's really cool. Wow.
Twins.
Just magic. Twins. What can I say? My actual twin, Steve Zaragoza.
Actual biological twin.
Actual biological twin.
Twin.
Unbelievable.
Truly. Don't believe it.
Don't believe it. It is truly unbelievable.
As you should not.
But MK, before we end the podcast portion and go into the Patreon portion of this chat, is there any last thing you'd like to say?
Oh, goodness.
For the people or
the plug
thing in your life that you'd recommend?
Yeah, well, I'll plug my own stuff. Like I was talking about, Anne of Green Gables. It's coming out publicly now, so you don't have to be a patron to listen to it, but you can.
You could be.
You can join my Patreon and get like almost the whole book now at any level. And then at the $50 level, people are just finished Anne of Avonlea, the second book, and we're starting on the third book. But again, it's coming out publicly now, so you don't have to pledge at all. You can still listen to it week to week. And some really wonderful performances by some of our dear friends, Jamie Lynn Beatty, Dylan Saunders, Whitney Avalon, Sean Prasad. It's great. And then, of course, yeah.
I know those people.
Yeah, they're good. They're good peeps. And, of course, Shipwrecked Comedy. We don't have a lot going on right now, unfortunately, because of, you know, the state of the world. We are working on a 2021 calendar, which we're really excited about. So we'll be selling that soon.
Oh, I thought you meant literally like filling in. I know about the calendar, but I thought you meant wow, you're like filling in the dates already. Just
filling it. Well, also that we can actually do things next year. And what am I into recently? Oh, Somebody Feed Phil is a great show that I highly recommend on Netflix. If you're wanting some enjoyable, just calm watching.
Speaking of, did you know that a new season of Bake Off started on Netflix?
I watched it last night and it's great.
Is it? We can't wait.
Whole season.
We absolutely can't.
They're doing it week to week.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm so thankful. Yeah.
I know. That was a surprise.
Watched all the last seasons, or can you just dive right in this season?
Oh, you can just dive right in.
Dive right in.
But you should watch the last seasons because they changed up hosts this year.
The hosts are like, delightful.
They're good still.
I mean, I like the new guy.
You like Matt Lucas?
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah. I mean, they're just
a bit of a sausage fest now.
Yeah, a little bit. But they're like, also British, that it's just adorable. Everything they say is just so great and funny and charming.
I can't wait!
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Fantastic.
Well, I will say the challenge they make them do in this first episode is like too intense and weird. But
really,
but I'm excited for the season. It's gonna be great. Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing. Well,
let's go out on one of our favorite songs. Thanks for being on this podcast. It's our favorite choral medley. It's I Was a Fawn.
Deadlines with my son. Yep.
roses with milk.
Mary Kate, you're the best.
You're the best.
Okay.
Bye.
See? Was I wrong? A simply delightful chat. Big thanks to MK for dropping by and for lending her talents to so many projects near and dear to our hearts. To follow more of MK's work, you can support her on Patreon. And to check out all the hilarious content she's made with Shipwrecked Comedy, you can support them on Patreon as well, or find them on YouTube. And even though my Spies Are Forever parody song at the top may have seemed like a joke, this is actually our last Talking Trash interview. We'll be back in the future with a brand new format that we've been pioneering on our Patreon, the Sleepover Movie Night Livestream, where we revisit an odd movie from our childhoods with special guests. But, like these Talking Trash interviews, the full streams are only available on Patreon. So, to get the extended MK interview, archives of all Talking Trash and Sleepover Movie Night streams, as well as the Patreon-exclusive Wayward Guide After Show, and all sorts of other perks, please consider joining the Tin Can Fam at www.patreon.com/tincanbros. Much love to you all. Ta-ta for now.